Wake Up.
Yeah.
With Darren, Kerry and Sky. East Coast Radio.
Time now for our hashtag expert series, Wendy Nola Today, where we give you an opportunity to ask any consumer-related question to Wendy Nola between now and 9. You can send your questions via WhatsApp 061-792-9495. We can even call you back if you'd like that as an option. Hello, Wendy lady.
Good morning, Darren.
So we're going to go straight
Yes.
Straight into the first question. This one's from Michelle Schumacher. She says, I extended my vehicle's service plan, changed my mind and decided to rather buy a new car. I requested a full refund and they agreed, but I haven't received my refund and I've been charged with admin fees. The dealer also contacted me to say I do not qualify for the refund because they are using the money for admin fees. And then?
Okay. All right. So that has to be underpinned by a contract. They can't just suck that out of their thumb. That had to have been in a contract. And, of course, most of us don't read the terms and conditions. But it sounds like they're making it up as they go along.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm understanding this text correctly, that admin fee they're expecting you to pay is well over 1,000 rand. And I would say that's certainly not justified given, you know, there was no cover and how quickly she cancelled it.
Mm.
So I would certainly contest that and ask to see the contract term on which they're basing that.
Okay.
And if she needs my help, she's welcome to email me.
That's Wendy Nola Consumer on Facebook. There's a mail option there.
And then, Wendy, we got this one from Manny. My son, Tiki Taka, recently purchased a house. 2 months later, he found borer on the doors. Does he have a claim with the previous owner? How does he go about the claim?
Okay, so when we buy a house, we have there's certain assurances that we get in terms of official certificates. So the one is the electrical, that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then in certain parts of Durban, the borer belt, as it's known, you have to get an entomologist certificate around it being borer free. And that's why often you see homes being tented and it's during the sale process because the entomologist will say, oh no, this roof is riddled with borer. And that certainly happened with the house I bought.
Yeah.
In my case, it was clearly not done because a rat ran over me in the middle of the night. And that was actually my first ever consumer column in 1998. And we interrogated the extermination, whatever you call it, and they hadn't actually put any gas in the tent.
Wow.
And it had to be redone and not at my cost. So certainly, if there's still an active infestation and it's different from old, what do they call it, that sawdust-looking stuff. There's a certain frass, I think they call it, frass. That's dark. The new stuff is very blonde. If there's an active infestation, then certainly go back to the entomologist that issued the certificate and take it from there because you've been had, and I can certainly help you with that.
Yeah, it does bring up the old phrase. I don't remember the name, but I recognize the frass. So, but normally, how often?
I'm amazed I remembered that word.
How long? I mean, I know that the house gets tented. How long after it has been the entomologist certificate is that valid for? Because this is 2 months
now
later.
Now you're asking me. Yes, certainly there should be an infestation 2 months later. But those awful little things do fly, and they can fly straight back in. But they're not. It's not going to be. There's an entomologist. I would say certainly get a second opinion. But it's not going to be an active infestation that quickly after it's been eliminated by whatever means. Or in fact, you know, there has to be a certificate. So start there.
Mm. Yeah. And then Wendy Nola. Good morning. Firstly, and we've got a voice
good
note
morning.
For from Brittany.
Good morning. My name is Brittany.
That's
and
Brittany.
I have a question for Wendy Nola. At the moment, my bank is charging me interest and also fees for my debit orders bouncing for my loan account. Is there a way that I can get rid of that interest and those debit order fees, which range to 100 rand per bounce, in order to help get my loan account down? I am paying a small amount monthly, but the interest is more than what I can afford at the moment as I'm unemployed with COVID.
A lot of people want to know the answer to that question. Wendy?
Well, this person would like to know the question because I couldn't hear the first voice note, I'm afraid. Could you paraphrase for me?
So basically, she's not able to pay off the debt. She is paying a little bit of the amount, but there's added interest. And is there any way she can speak to her bank to cut down on the interest on the debt that she has to pay?
Okay, I'm not sure whether she had to take a payment holiday. I'm getting loads of complaints and queries around that. But essentially, even in these extraordinary times, banks are entitled and other credit providers are entitled to charge interest. That's how they make their money. All I can say is that the banks are certainly required, or morally required, I would say at this time, to be empathetic because of the scale, the sheer numbers of people who found themselves in financial distress through no fault of their own in many cases. And I can also tell you that the Ombudsman for Banking Services very recently issued a sort of they are compelling banks to treat what they call vulnerable customers with a lot of empathy and give them some slack. So vulnerable being if you've been forced, or your spouse has died, or you are financially illiterate, or you're disabled, or you're old. So if you fall into one of those categories, play the vulnerable customer card because it counts for something. The OBS says so. But otherwise, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the details there, but all I can say is negotiate, but you can't expect a complete waiving of interest
I think also you did enter into the conversation with the bank. Don't expect them to just do stuff. Phone them up, give them a call, let them know what the situation is, and I'm sure they'll try and make a plan. Wendy Nola answers your consumer-related questions between now and 9. You can WhatsApp 061-792-9495. Any questions asked and answered will be on a full podcast on the website a little bit later, but also later. Earlier, Wendy answered the question, what do you do when you purchase a new house and it's riddled with borers? That's there. Here's another question. Wendy, earlier this year, I had a blood test done at my GP. I clearly asked the doctor if my medical aid does not cover the procedure. They said that they would contact me first. Then, about a month later, Lancet calls me with a 2,500 rand bill without calling me first. Is this legal?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so who did she ask? She asked the doctor if she would be contacted first.
She asked the doctor, will my medical aid cover this, and will I be contacted first before any decisions are made?
Okay, so she should have been if that was the deal.
Yeah.
The medical aid will normally cover those blood tests. I do get a lot of complaints that where they have the medical aid for whatever reason rejects them, and suddenly the lab has handed them over for collection. Hmm. And it's been explained by many people in the medical profession that's often just because the doctor uses the wrong code. It's a code issue, and there's no actual reason why that test should have been rejected for payment by the medical scheme. Hmm. It's just that it's a code issue and no one interrogates it, and the poor patient then just gets left to pay. So the original question is, shouldn't she have been told if that was the doctor's undertaking? Yes, but I'm guessing there's no proof that there was such an undertaking. So now she must deal with the problem, and that is she's got a 2,500 rand bill. That's the other thing. You don't know what it's going to be until you get it.
Yeah.
If the medical scheme won't cover it, she must interrogate the code issue, and if she's still sitting with a problem with payment, she's welcome to let me have a look at it by emailing me.
And then, Wendy, we've got a message here for you from Debbie Nordia. Debbie says, morning, Wendy. I've just been into Heather's uniform shop in Westville to purchase some school trousers. When I paid, I was told that they do not allow refunds or exchange because of COVID. Earlier, I'd phoned to get prices and sizes, and the lady told me the same thing on the phone. Is this allowed? I'm not intending to exchange the trousers. However, I would just like to know if shops are allowed to do this. I didn't see up any signs regarding this. I may have missed them because I wasn't actually looking for them. Thank you for all the hard work you do, Wendy, from Debbie.
Thank you. I love this question because this returns issue affects so many people, and so many people get it wrong. So first thing to understand is when you buy something in a normal shop in the normal way, unless there's something wrong with them, you don't have an automatic legal right to get a refund or an exchange or anything. You don't have a right to take them back at all. So most stores will do exchanges, but they don't have to refund you, right? There is a, if you buy online because you don't have a chance to try on or look at anything, then you have a 7-day cooling off period to send it back for a full refund. Mm. But in this case, the question is the COVID thing. The COVID thing is a red herring if the trousers are not defective. But some at the beginning, I don't know if you remember, we spoke at the beginning of lockdown, some stores, including Woolworths, were started saying, well, you can't try on because of COVID and then you can't bring back until after lockdown. And then they quickly realized that's not legal because you can't stop someone trying on. So the thing is, we have, you know, responsibilities as consumers. So one of them is to make sure that what we're buying is what we actually want, because you've got to understand you don't have a legal right to take it back for anything, much less a refund. So if the store allowed the uniform to be tried on, they're within their rights to say, sorry, we're not taking them back. If they don't allow trying on, they can't then say we're not taking them back because you couldn't have the opportunity to make sure that they fitted. So COVID has thrown this whole returns issue into a lot of more confusion than there was already. But the bottom line is, make sure what the returns policy is before you buy, if you think you might want to take them back. And don't just accept a yes, you can bring them back. Say, what are your policies? Do I get a refund or do I just get a credit note or what it is? Because a lot of people hear, yes, you can bring it back. And they're thinking, oh, yeah, I can get my money back. But that's not what the store intends. So make sure, especially if you're buying something without trying it on, you must know exactly where you stand if you need to bring it back.
And then just one more here, Wendy from D Nice Fisher. My question for Wendy is, what can I do to get rid of a tenant that refuses to sign the lease agreement that was sent to him several times or pay the rental owed for 4 months?
Oi. Okay. We've moved into lockdown level 2, so as far as I'm aware, the eviction processes can now go ahead. So all I can say is you've got to do it legally. Certainly, you know, not being paid rent at all or very much short paid is, you know, it's something that a landlord has to accept no matter what the circumstances are. But I would just say, you know, do it legally, get the help of a lawyer and start that process. It first has to be applied for and then the eviction notice needs to be served. And I can tell you that there's a massive backlog. So you might just be prepared for that. But if it's already been 4 months and no payment, unless that person is now going to start working again and the reason they couldn't pay was because they had no income, it might be worth negotiating and finding out, coming to some kind of payment compromise, which might be easier and quicker. But if the tenant doesn't want to sign the lease, then that doesn't sound like he or she is very cooperative. Mm-hmm. Just a warning to people renting out property. Never go into the deal. Never let the person move in without a lease being signed. Yeah. Tick both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like the biggest warning ever. Thank you, Wendy. If you want to get hold of Wendy directly, it's on her Facebook, Wendy Nola Consumer, and there is an email option there.
Wake up with Darren, Kerry and Skye.
Wake up now.
Darren Morley, Kerry Miller, Skye Savalana.
East Coast Radio.